That's my current favourite part of that song, Cellophane, on Triple J on King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard's brand new album. I'm In Your Mind, Fuzz, and I have two members in the studio, Stu and Eric. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
What number release is this for you guys just this year?
Two.
Not counting the 12-inch, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we put out a single as well, like a 12-inch single earlier in the year.
Which I heard was going for like hundreds of dollars on fancy auction websites and stuff.
Yeah, which is kind of
annoying,
flattering and infuriating at the same time.
Flattering.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird.
And infuriating.
Someone made a lot of money, but not us. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was like a record store day thing, though, so at least it looked really nice and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good on them.
Tracks. But you have averaged over just over two albums a year since 2012. So
yeah, yep.
How does the writing go? Is it all seven of you that contribute and thus there is that amazing amount of prolificness?
Yeah, I guess like it's collaborative.
Yeah, lots of, we'll kind of jam stuff out, and then if someone's got a song that they want to put forward, yeah, we'll always, you know, consider it. And I think on the new record, like Hot Water was mainly like Joey's riff, and then we kind of jammed it. But I guess Stu kind of does a lot of the writing.
And how do you bring them all to the group? Like, is it just in a jam out situation, or are you emailing ideas around?
Well, it's always kind of different, I guess. But with this record, we wanted to do it more as a band than ever before. Use the traditional kind of write songs, jam them out as a band, and then go into a studio and record them as a band, which is kind of like the traditional way of making a record, but for some reason we'd just never done that before.
Yes. So like for Oddments, that was kind of the opposite. It was more just bits and pieces from over the years that we kind of glued together.
Mostly just bedroom stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Home recordings.
All right, so like Hot Wax was recorded at home.
Yeah, I just did that.
Oh, that was like very last minute, 11th hour. And then Stu just whipped it up in about...
And then we got Ambi to pretend like he was a lady on it.
Wait a second, who's Andy?
Ambrose.
Oh, Ambrose. Ambi. Oh, Ambrose, of course.
Ambi.
He's the harmonica. Yeah, got it.
Old Ambi.
Old Ambry. Now, you did some of this record overseas because you won that that global music grant thing last year, which was pretty rad, I imagine. And have you like spent it all? Was that kind of what you spent it on?
Yeah, we spent it on touring, kind of just cruised around and played shows and did fun stuff and pretended to be a real band for a while.
Yeah, and then we rented out like a cabin upstate in New York, kind of around Woodstock area. But it wasn't that productive, though, was it, Stuart?
Well, it would have been good to be more productive, but we finished this record off there.
Oh, it definitely was productive, but we just thought we'd write about 10 albums all being together for a month, but then it was
kind of
like
all just
the
wanted
opposite.
We kind of all just wanted to kill each other.
It was cabin fever.
I did hear there was a bear.
Yeah, there was a bear. I went out in the morning about 9 in the morning to Skype my girlfriend because she was in the opposite time zone.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in this hammock and it was a beautiful day and I was kind of half asleep, kind of waking up, and about a meter next to me, I just realized there was a big brown bear waking up too. We startled each other. He kind of ran off and I ran off into the house and he went behind this ridge in the back of our backyard, which backed onto the forest. And up from the balcony of our house, I woke up everyone and we watched this bear peek his head over the ridge and kind of suss us out and realized we weren't trying to shoot him. And then he kind of wandered around the backyard for a little while and we just sort of like followed him around and it was kind of nice.
Beautiful. No wonder you got no songwriting done when you got bears to hang out with and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We had to keep ourselves alive.
Good mates.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm going to play not a song about a bear. I don't think there's any songs about bears on this album. Who knows? I mean, you guys probably do. I'm going to play Hot Water.
Oh, we actually did record this upstate, didn't we?
No, we recorded this.
Oh, we jammed it.
We recorded this at Daptone in Brooklyn, but we did write this upstate. This was the last song that we did for the album.
All right.
And this was kind of Joey Walker, his little baby, this song.
Well, I'm going to chuck it on now. We'll maybe talk about recording at Daptone too, because that sounds pretty damn nice. And I've got to warn you, there is a flute in this, so you have been warned from Triple J. This is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard from their brand new album, I'm In Your Mind, Fuzz, and Hot Water, Triple J. Oh, yes. What a breathy flute ending that tune on Triple J. That is Hot Water by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. The album I'm In Your Mind, Fuzz is out. It is our feature album this week. I've got in the studio Eric and Stu from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. So who is the mystery flautist?
That's me.
Really?
Yep, yep. I made a pact with myself a couple of years ago that I'd try to learn one new instrument every year until I'm dead.
Awesome.
So I took the flute to America with us and I tried to play it every day, and it seeped its way onto a lot of the songs on the record.
It did. How is it a hard instrument to learn to play?
Yeah, it's
so how was it for everyone else?
it only sounds breathy on the recording because I'm not very good at it. But it's cool because you can put it in a little tiny case, not like a guitar.
Yes. And Eric, how was everyone else when he was learning the flute?
Oh, you know, it's it wasn't too bad. I think by the time we got over to the US, he could already play it a little bit, so it wasn't too painful.
I was just playing the Lord of the Rings theme over and over again.
It was mainly mainly in the mixes when he was going over everything, and every track the flute was just like the loudest thing by far. Like, oh, come on, man, like turn it down a bit. I hear the vocals. Be a guitar, get the drums up.
No, turn that flute up, up.
And exactly.
And then the next song, there it is again. There you are again. So is this going to affect how you do things live? If you have to play the flute and sing, you're going to like let someone else have some sing? Or is it going to work out all right?
I've been trying to play the flute live on a couple of songs, but it's really hard in King Gizzard because it's such a loud band.
Mm.
And it's sort of an inherently not that loud instrument.
Now, so that's the flute sorted out. How do you work out who does everything when you're recording? Like, is it everyone putting down their own stuff, or is it actually dictated roles for the guitars and the keys and the different drums and percussion and stuff?
Yeah, it was recorded in a couple of different places. So the stuff we did at Daptone in Brooklyn was, literally all of us together, all seven, just recording live, like two drum kits, except maybe Ambrose overdubbed harmonica.
Yeah.
All squashed into a tiny little studio. So that's kind of the basis of how we wanted to make this album, just a fully live sounding record.
And is that
everyone playing?
That's the Daptones recording studio where like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, it's their recording studio that they built themselves. What's it like?
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's converted little terrace style house. It's really small.
Right, in the heart of Bushwick. It's a pretty ghetto area.
There's no computers. We did it all to just an 8-track and we're sort of like cutting bits of tape with a scalpel and sticky taping things together and doing fun stuff like that.
They had the Amy Winehouse like platinum like million selling album above the toilet. So when you went to use the toilet, you could just have a look at like some of the past people who recorded there.
That is right. We chatted to Sharon Jones when they were building that, and she was the one who ran she ran all the electricity in the place.
Yeah.
She ran all the wires.
All the cabling.
That's crazy.
So awesome. Right, I'm talking King Gizzard and Lizard. Shaz, was she there? Was Shaz there?
Nah, Shaz wasn't there. Didn't drop in.
Thought she might have been mailing out some merch, doing some t-shirts.
That's the DIY way they deal with things. Hey, I've got to play a little bit of this as well. So on Satan Speeds Up, there is a flute solo on this, but how many wah pedals are used on this song?
Couple wah pedals.
Just couple?
Yeah, got into a... the wah pedal with this record a lot.
Yeah, it's nice and sleazy. We wanted that. That's the vibe.
The first pedal I ever bought, I was playing Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, Hendrix.
Where he does the solo, it's like it sounds like he's the DJ. Yeah. Probably doing a bit of that.
There's all those songs, those iconic wah songs, Blood Sugar Sex Magic song by Red Hot Chili Peppers as well.
Yeah, I know the track actually.
Anyway. Hey, one thing I got to talk about is the artwork that you guys have, including like the amazing 3D video clip for Cellophane and just and Hot Wax, all that stuff that's kind of fluoro drawings over you guys' faces. Is it one person that does all that?
Yeah, that's our mate Jason Galea. He used to skateboard, or still does, with Ambrose. Ambrose one day, a few years ago, was like, oh, we should get my friend Jace, who's this crazy artist, to start doing some band stuff. And then ever since, he's basically done everything.
Talking to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. It's a little bit more of that. A couple of wahs. And we'll listen to some more stuff after a couple of tunes on Triple J. How many wahs are on stage when you guys play, though?
10.
10 wahs. 10 wahs. You're a 10 wah band. Got it. Eric and Stu from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard talking about the brand new album, I'm In Your Mind Fuzz. And just like I was talking about with Olivia before the interview, it starts off real sweet like. Very first track on the King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard album, which starts off with a pretty sweet bass line, then gets into this rock and roll riff. And then, about 3 minutes later... Did you guys write... There's four songs. There's like these two and then Cellophane and then I'm In Your Fuzz Mind. Did you write them as a suite, as an operetta?
It kind of came together slowly. I think the first part was the first part that we wrote, and that just kind of came out of a jam. And then the very last part kind of references the first one again and it sort of builds on that. And I guess that came next.
And was and Cellophane that, different?
Yeah, and then the instrumental part, which is the second part, would have come next. And that was meant to be in between to kind of separate the two sections. And then it kind of felt like the song needed to go someplace else for a little while. And then Cellophane kind of came last as a need for the song to drift off and then come back.
Yeah, so in the end, the... But it's still keeping the same sort of same tempo and the same kind of driving force as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, originally we wanted to do the whole record, just that the same beat, the do-do-da, do-do-da, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I guess it just didn't really work out, so we got the first bit of it anyway, yeah.
What is there? Because they're all different riffs as well. Is there any rules around writing a King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard riff?
I don't know. I guess it's either got to be simple or funny.
Yeah, that's this record. We just wanted a lot of funny, like just metal-y riffs and just shredding. Like, it's just shredding on the whole thing.
It's meant to just be like a little bit apocalyptic, just a bit end of the worldish and still fun somehow.
That's having a laugh at the end of the world. You may as well.
Yeah, why not?
Is there a lyrical theme as well then?
Yeah, totally. I guess that's the underlying thing is apocalypse or like climate change or despair. Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah, it's dark, but it's not too serious as well.
Nice. Well, there is that the song at the end of the album. It's almost like a love song.
That's true, with the exception of that song, which is kind of like a love song, which sort of feels right to end on it.
Although, yeah, like a nice Hawaiian style love song.
Yeah, Santana style.
Now you've been playing shows. You did a bunch of shows in Australia. You did those sold out shows in Melbourne as well with the Murlocs and Ambrose and Cook as well from King Gizzard that are both in that band. So a big workout for those guys. And both Murlocs and King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are out on Flightless Records.
Yeah.
Which is it your record label, Eric?
Yeah. So I guess we basically just started it as a way to kind of put out King Gizzard stuff early on because we just wanted to do obviously
18
yeah,
record, albums a
year. Yeah that's it, record and release a lot of stuff and yeah, obviously it's kind of hard to convince a traditional record label to do all that. It's a lot of work, so we're just like, well, we can do it ourselves in a way. Now it's just kind of grown to our friends bands and friends of friends and it's really good.
I did see you guys taking photos in a studio kitchen as well, so are you already working on new records?
Oh, that was just yesterday. I was recording a friend's band yesterday.
Oh, okay.
That was at my house.
Stu's always recording bands. And
if that's a friend's band, what's King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard got planned then after all of this crazy international stuff?
Well, we've found a day to record at Daptone again in the States, so we're going to go there and record some new ideas.
And how about gigs for Australia now that this whole album's out?
Once we get back from overseas, we're going to do a couple of big album launches around Australia in December, so I guess keep an eye out for the dates.
All right, dudes, thank you very much for coming in. I'm going to chuck on Cellophane. How many times have you guys watched this video clip with 3D glasses on?
Probably once.
Too many.
Too many. it's good. It does my head in a really nice way. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you very much. And have a great time overseas. And we'll see you guys when you get back.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
It's The Doctor on Triple J.